You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for March 3rd, 2017. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Leo Tolstoy novella in which Jefferson Beauregard Sessions is currently trapped, it's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
That it's a Leo Tolstoy novella and not a Tennessee Williams tragedy?
I think I like the idea of the death of Ivan Ilyich by William Faulkner. As I recall, that like the second paragraph of that is Ivan Ilyich is dead, and it's all these people reacting to this bourgeois person, but then you transit over to his actual life.
Uh-huh.
And how he's, once his diagnosis comes, he's separated from his community.
Yeah.
He becomes a different creature altogether. And I think setting that in gothic southern Jefferson Beauregard Sessions country has a lot going for it.
It does.
Either that or The Nose by Gogol, which, you know.
And it reminds me, and it should remind all of us, that there is value in distancing oneself from this drama.
Yes.
Just a little bit, just enough to stay sane.
Yeah.
That if you're in the middle of it, the only people that should be in the middle of it all the time are the Reince Priebuses.
Yes.
And the Sean Spicers. They deserve to be in that hellhole.
They choose voluntarily. To walk into that White House every goddamn day and serve an evil man.
Yeah. So
fuck.
That's them. That's them. We have not elected to do that. No. So, you know, we have a job to do to defend the weak and defenseless and people who are facing injustice.
And people who care about. You know what? You know what our job is, honey?
What?
Truth, justice, and the American goddamn
there
way.
You go.
Yeah,
there
just
you
like
go.
Superman.
That's it. That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. You have a rather somber note to start off our show today, right?
I want to say best wishes to Chess Bazienz's family, Bob Seska, who's a very friend of our podcast and a friend of ours. We've never met face-to-face, but that's true of so many people who are close to us and who we value very much.
Mm-hmm.
Chez
mm-hmm.
passed away last week, unexpectedly and unnecessarily.
Right.
We would like Bob to know right off the top that if there's anything he needs, anything we can do for him, if he needs to lean on somebody, we are just a phone call away or an email away. We're happy to be there for all of our friends. They're in this fight with us. They've been in this fight with us the whole time.
Yeah.
And they have been to the depths of Greenwald horde attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're good guys. And
and it was sad on Saturday when you told me that he had passed away, and then Monday we found out that it was a drug overdose. Mm-hmm. And that for some reason hit me harder.
Yeah.
I know that he had faced this demon in the past, and I thought, okay, you know, if he passed away from a heart attack or from the consequences of that past lifestyle, which, you know, can happen. If you were doing a lot of drugs a long time ago, but a lot of other people, we are losing a lot of 69-year-olds these days, whose past was either, you know, some of it was just smoking cigarettes, but some of it was doing hard drugs at a younger time in their lives, and their bodies deteriorated because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that this was current drug use made me so angry and so sad.
Right.
That here is someone that had all of us, and there are so many people in my lifetime who have died. You know, I lost my mom last year. My sister's very sick right now. There's nothing I can say to stop the cancer.
Right.
And I just feel like here's a situation where maybe I could have done something or said something, and I wasn't given that opportunity, and that makes me so mad. And, you know, I'm being selfish here, and I don't care. I'm mad that Chaz took his life that way. And I pray that everyone listening to my voice, if you're facing those demons, please stay on treatment. Please get help. We love you. You matter. You matter a lot to us.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is diminished by your absence.
Yeah.
And the world is less of a clear place. You know, Chez was kind of, they called him Eeyore, you know, because he was kind of down and, oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. You know, just that his on-air persona was one of, I'm not impressed with anything and I'm going to be negative about all the bullshit that the world has to offer. But he didn't accept anything but truth. You know, everything else was out. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he is gone now, the world is diminished by that.
It is.
We got a letter regarding this tragedy from one of our listeners who said, and I'm laughing because, yeah, his letter says, I hope I am dead before I ever have to listen to one of you two do the podcast without the other. I listened to Bob and Chez's show on Tuesday. I thought I felt nothing for either of these dudes, but that podcast with Chez dead was one of the greatest things I've ever listened to in my life. That is really how you lead a true friend out.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with that. I mean, Bob and Chez were true friends.
Mm-hmm.
May your marriage and podcast outlive my good genes. I'm 38 now. We need another 50 years minimum of your podcast. Okay. I'll be 103.
Well, we've got about 300 episodes in the can right now, ready to go. Just ready to go. They're not going to be topical because they're all pre-recorded.
You're going to go blah, 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 David Brooks, blah, 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 and they're all going to be topical.
And my poor wife is going to be there editing out President Hillary and inserting President Trump. Very depressing. But yeah, we hope so too. And just on that note,
mm-hmm.
What writing, which is basically what we do, we write into a microphone, we write during the day,
yeah.
And you know, we read and rewrite, is an essentially solitary task.
Yep.
My writing world is populated richly with characters and places and geographies and languages and stuff. But my physical world, when I write, is very small and very isolated and very much alone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy when you're writing, you know, whatever, science fiction or fantasy or romance or what have you, you know, to inhabit that world. You have to. If you're good at it, you inhabit it. The problem when you write about media and politics and current events and culture like we do and the tragedy of this election is that the world we have to live in is essentially malevolent and dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
And you're living in what feels like by yourself in a hostile world whose every knife is pointed at you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
We're out to take your health care.
Right.
We're out to screw up your rivers and dams. We're out to take your job. We're out to fuck you over. And there's this horde of mindless, gibbering idiots who are descending on you. And it feels alone. And it's really important to remember you're not alone.
Yeah.
You are a member of the majority. There mm-hmm. are tens of millions of people out there who feel just like you do.
Yep.
And we're just one little piece of the connective tissue that lets you know that there are plenty of people out there who feel like you do, who are pissed like you are, and are looking for ways to take action like you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And when one of us falls, it's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so it's important to know that you're going to get depressed and you're going to get sad and you're going to get angry. And find a way to, you know, step away from that for a while. Make art out of it. Go get, you know, go get drunk with your wife or your significant
Make
other.
Make art. Yep.
Yeah.
Making art. Talk to your kids. Talk to your cats. Go outside and do all of those things. I'm very grateful that you and I have children and cats in our house.
Mm-hmm.
It does help that, you know, when you're in the middle of watching Hugh Hewitt lie to everyone.
Yes.
And thinking and really gaslight people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what's going on with conservative media in particular is just gaslighting. It's saying nothing to see here.
Right.
the past as you remember it is not true.
Right.
You're wrong because the interests that I have say you're wrong.
Yeah.
And it's crazy making. It is intentionally crazy to make you feel so crazy that you just turn it all off and don't pay attention anymore.
Right.
So that they can go along and steal the resources of the world.
Steal your country. Well, just the title of Paul Krugman's column this morning. It's Friday morning. We're recording this on Friday. Goodbye spin, hello raw dishonesty.
Yep.
It's just, we don't fucking care anymore. We can lie. The Attorney General can lie. Scott Pruitt can lie. Betty DeVos can lie. Mike Flynn can lie. Everybody in my administration can lie. And it comes from the top. Donald Trump lies constantly. And there are 63 million meatheads out there who don't give a shit.
Right.
And there's a majority in each House of Congress who don't care that he's committed 40 impeachable offenses in 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they get to slash taxes for their paymasters,
right,
people that they really work for, and take your shit away, that's what they've been dreaming of for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all they care about. They will back anybody. They will back this openly racist, lying, fascist, awful, orange monster.
Until they get the tax cuts they want. Mm-hmm. Yep. And if it costs also giving Putin his oil deals.
They don't care. They don't
care.
Well,
that makes the right people rich as well. Sure. I mean, when you realize, I wrote a post this morning about the whole lie fest last night of this really weird. I thought it was the weirdest interview since Frost Nixon. It had a Frost Nixon feel to it.
That Carter's little liver
that
pill.
Carter. Yeah. Yeah. Just this idea that it's so strange to me that someone would go on Chris Hayes' show and say, I'm here to say nothing.
Right.
I'm here to, because I mean, I didn't even know why he was there, but it was Carter Page was just saying, I will not neither confirm nor deny that I'm sitting in this chair right now in front of you, Chris Hayes. You know, really? Yeah. Yeah. All the while digging a huge hole for himself, because it appears now that the purpose of this whole exercise is to cover up everything and make you so confused that, again, you move on to the hopefully you'll just move on to the next thing by Monday. And a number of people on Twitter said, you know, the fact that Carter Page did this and basically fell on his sword shows that Jeff Sessions is in real trouble. And sure enough, you know, there were several senators and 26 House members yesterday who called for his resignation. There were hundreds of protesters outside the Justice Department in Washington with signs saying resign. And now Fox and Friends is blaming Al Franken.
Sure.
Because of course they are. Uh-huh.
Well, there's a big wheel with the names of liberals and Democrats on it. They just spin it, and whoever pops up, it's his fault today.
Yeah, and it's because, George Soros. And you see that. You see that on right wing Twitter.
They have a built-in audience of zombies who are just too stupid or brainwashed or desperate or whatever. I prefer to think of a large segment of them as just terribly desperate.
Yeah.
But, you see interviews with these people. I saw them on television. I've read in the paper of just, you know, in blown out Rust Belt towns going, you know, he going to bring jobs back.
Mm-hmm.
Just protect us, Mr. President. We know you love us. You're going to bring my job back. No, he's not. And there's no reaching them. You know, I'm sorry that the economy passed you by 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you should have noticed that. Maybe there's some actions you could have taken. Maybe not. But
well, and it's not like you haven't been unemployed since 2008 as well. We get this. Yeah. You know, there is angst and problems with the economy and a lack of investment in workers and people and improving things.
Yep.
That's all part of it. And
at no point in the last 8 years have I felt, you know, my best move is here. I'm
Reaganomics.
In my 50s, I'm underemployed. I lost my job at the worst possible time. I lost my condo. I lost my savings. I have a lovely family, but all the things I've lost, you know what I should do? I should vote for a bright orange lying fascist asshole who's clearly lying. And I know at some level, I realize he's lying. I know he's lying, but see, I'm just that stupid.
I'm going to vote for a congressman who's believed in Reaganomics for 40 years.
I'm
waiting for that trickle down.
And I'm not going to give my money to the carnival con man once. Yeah. I'm gonna go home and get more money and come back. Then I'm gonna sell my TV and bring it back because I'm just that fucking stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, as you know, we've mentioned, I used to tell ladies who were my friends back in my singles day, after they've dated six identical monsters in a row,
yeah,
maybe yeah. it's not them.
Yep.
You know, after you've hit the same tree six times.
I mean, it is them, but maybe the reason you're in your sixth relationship right. with one of them.
Yeah.
yeah.
Who are all
yeah.
the same. Maybe
right.
once you've wrapped your car around the tree six times, mm-hmm. maybe it's not the tree.
Right.
Maybe
right.
it's you. Maybe you need to change the way. But that's not any information that penetrates the Fox bubble. I would like to say also that this eerily comports with that old saying that we all know, which is March comes in like a lying attorney general. and goes out with a flurry of humiliating resignations. So, yeah. you know, the gypsy women were right when they came up with that expression 70,000 years ago.
But Driftglass, to me, the crimes that have been committed, and we're seeing that basically the Republican National Convention, mm-hmm. while the brainwashed 3 minutes hate was going on the floor of the convention of right. lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And the cameras were on that.
Uh-huh.
In the back room, the Trump campaign was negotiating with the Russians to quid pro quo, give them their sanctions, you know, get rid of the sanctions in exchange for something. There was just clear, you know, this is what we'll do. We're going to do for you.
Sure.
And that is not the thing that kind of freaks me out is we are pretending now, and we're pretending this on the left, that this is somehow new, that this is somehow, I mean, it may be Watergate again, and we're willing to go back and compare it to that.
Right.
But this is standard operating procedure for the Republican Party
it
to
is.
Take foreign policy in Republican politics. Foreign policy is kleptocracy. It is that. That's what it's for. And going ahead, regardless of elections, regardless of the outcome of elections, and saying, we're going to just conduct foreign policy because whatever Democrats in the White House is just illegitimate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that went on with Carter Reagan, with keeping the hostages, the United States citizens that were held hostage by the Iranian government.
Yeah.
in prison for extra months in order to win an election that was negotiated by the Reagan people. And then, I mean, you look at Tom Cotton's letter to mm-hmm. the Iranians.
Sure.
I mean, this is a different world now, but the Tom Cotton saying, oh, you know, don't pay any attention to the president of the United States and how he is negotiating with you.
Well,
He's not going to be president after 2016, and we're not going to count anything he did as being valid.
Yeah, and so Tom Cotton opened his own foreign policy shop.
Right.
And he should have, and his voters should have thrown him out of office. He should have been impeached at that point. But we don't impeach Republicans for that. Right. We don't even think about it. We just shrug it off. And in between those things, remember Dick Cheney's energy task force?
Yes, right.
We're gonna meet in a little room. Off the record and talk about how we're going to carve up the Middle East and give it to my oil buddies. And, oops, I'm sorry, there aren't any records of that meeting, and no one remembers who was there, and no one remembers what was discussed. Sorry, you know, fuck you, you don't get to know.
Right, right.
Except that's right. exactly what the Iraq War was all about.
Right,
so,
sure.
So, Republicans are by nature traitors.
Mm-hmm.
They are by nature loyal to their corporate masters, and their creepy slash everything and screw the poor ideology. They always have been, and until they are radically reformed, until this generation of Fox News meatheads dies off, mm-hmm. they're going to stay that way.
And they're already plotting how to steal the 2018 and 2020 elections. I mean, that's what they're doing.
And that's what voter suppression's about. And that's
right.
and really, that's what keeping you gaslit all the time is about.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping
mm-hmm.
you so
mm-hmm.
addled and depressed and just striking out in every direction.
So that you don't go out and register voters. So that yeah. you don't go out and tell your friends and neighbors to vote against them. Yeah. Right.
So that you don't stand up at town meetings and call them, you know.
Call them what they are.
I'm yeah. sorry. And you know what? This can be exhausting. And I have a couple of suggestions for how to fight the exhaustion. First, mm-hmm. get yourself a dozen or a baker's dozen of those delicious McGuffin's muffins. McGuffin's muffins. building strong. And you know what? Have a good sit down in a pair of durable Dukakis khakis.
You know, Dirk Glass, back up from the Dukakis khakis for a minute, because we have a listener who sent us a jingle for MacGuffin's Muffins. Building here strong it. Plot points 12 ways. Yeah. And here it is.
MacGuffin's Muffins, building strong plot points 12 ways.
Thank you for sending that.
Thank
We're
you.
We're going to use that.
Thank
We're going to use that forever.
Thank you, not George Soros.
Not George Soros sent that to us. Yeah. Thank you very, very much.
That's amazing. Nice yep. job. And once you're done with your comfortable pants and your muffins, kick back and put your feet up and notice the fact that you have the good sense not to wear Crocs because you've used Croc Blockers, the bad fashion choice alert system from the Cornfield Enterprise. Croc Blockers, hey, man, don't wear those shoes.
Hey, man, don't wear those shoes. And you don't because you've got Croc Blockers. So
exactly.
Good for you.
You've been told,
You know, love our advertisers. Thank you very much.
Yeah, all
and,
the
and,
fake advertisers.
And I understand there's some backroom negotiation going on, Dirk Glass,
yes,
for
working,
a new sponsor.
I'm working. I'm cobbling together a deal. I'm doing a little wordsmithing. They don't know exactly how to phrase this, so I'm working with them. Schrodinger's dick pills. Schrodinger's dick pills, because uncertainty sometimes is your friend. Do you have a boner? Don't you? You don't know. Best not to look. Schrodinger's dick pills. Things like that. I'm working on that. And all I know is this, Blue Gal. All I know about television is what I read in the papers. Mm. And all I know about the papers is what I see on TV. But what I know about the entire media landscape, specifically television, is that dick pills sell. Dick
they
pills
do.
Make you fucking rich, man. You turn on MSNBC and you see advertising for oil, for reverse mortgages, and for dick pills and various
dick
other
pills.
Drugs.
Yeah.
But dick pills are more fun to say. So I figure, why not get into that market, especially with a product that doesn't actually do anything?
Right, but you don't check to see if it works.
You don't want to check. You don't want to look because you might ruin it. Schrodinger's dick pills, because uncertainty is sometimes your friend.
Right, there you go. There you go. Well, those are great sponsors, and we're so glad to have them.
Thank you. We're working on several exciting new prospects of imaginary sponsors who will.
And in reality, folks, yeah. You guys are our sponsors.
Yeah, we have
and
no.
we do appreciate that. We're not. Don't gloss that over. You guys keep us going, and you keep us going in so many ways. So
we have no commercials. We have no sponsors. We have no underwriters. It's nope. just me and Blue Gal. I do occasionally get letters that are addressed to Dear Drift.
Yeah.
And asking me if I thought about monetizing my podcast.
Yeah, we get things like that, and it's always something that I if I thought it was something our listeners would want or
exactly.
use,
exactly.
I would think I'll just pass this along to them. We don't have to put an ad on the show if it's something, you know, I have a book out, I have stuff yeah. going on, you know, sure.
Happy to do it. Yep.
We got a book from Robert Chaz Shute. I want to mention this.
Mm-hmm.
He's put out a self-help book called Do the Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real – he sent me a copy, and it's really good. You can just open it up to any page and get a kick in the ass, basically, to snap out of what's going on and get to work. And it's very positive, and we're all kind of superheroes. We're going to do this. And so, you know, I just pass that along. You might be interested in that.
Yeah.
And he has written those zombie books and those robot books, which are also very well written. Recommend those. But if it's something that you guys would be interested in, I'm just going to tell you about them.
Right.
I'm not going to say you have to have an ad campaign with us
now.
Now maybe that makes me a bad businesswoman, but I like our show the way it is.
I kind of do too. Pod Save America, Crooked Media people. Get wind of the best in the Midwest.
But here's the deal. I don't think they're going to because we've burned so many bridges with mainstream media types.
Everybody. We really have.
I mean, no one's going to have us. Even Joy Ann Reid isn't going to have us on her show because we're terrible.
We can't. Well, you know where we can show our face?
Where?
On Twitter.
Because yeah.
nothing counts on Twitter. But that's – I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Let's start off by reminding people that in the – 6 years since our last podcast, Donald Trump has stood up and given a speech off a teleprompter, which, you know, I suffer from the liberal affliction of having a memory. I remember when mm-hmm. using a teleprompter was treasonable.
Yeah.
Barack Obama, I can't count. I'd have to take off my shoes and socks to count to the number high enough to represent the number of times that I heard from conservative friends and colleagues and emails and all over the internet how utterly incompetent anybody was who ever used a teleprompter to do anything. Of course, that was in the days long ago when Barack Obama was president. Now Barack Obama is only president in retrospect and therefore is responsible for all of Donald Trump's failures.
Yeah.
But he didn't grab a single pussy for 60 minutes. He said a whole bunch of horrifying things in a very calm voice. And everybody went, oh my God, he's the president now. We can relax because there is nothing our media is hungrier for than some scrap to fall off the table so they can go back to pretending that both sides do it. That both sides are equally the same, that both sides are something, something.
Well, because they want their tax cuts too. I mean, they're all making six figures, seven figures, so they want to make sure their Social Security taxes stay so low that they can take a holiday in February, right, from that.
Right.
And they want their tax cuts because they're rich. So
I think that's certainly a big part of it, but it's also that it's been so long that they have been they've bred a generation of journalists, of pundits, who don't know anything other than the laziest possible answer to every Republican atrocity is, yeah, but Democrats. That's literally all that's all Matthew Dowd knows how to do. That's all Ron Forney knows how to do. David Brooks spends 800 words, but that's all he ever fucking does. That's all Michael Gerson does. So,
all right, but I really feel as though Nicole Wallace, she was working hard this week not to say lie.
Yes, she was.
She had to say untruth, doesn't line up with the facts, is an alternative reality.
Right.
She did that three times in seven sentences. Yes. I was counting.
Yes, she did.
And it was hard work for her. Now, maybe she's an exception. Maybe for Matthew Dowd, this both sides stuff comes, you know, as it's the water he swims in, the air he breathes. But for some of them, it's not easy.
No.
And I think one of the things that got really strongly illustrated to me this week is how much of a waste these pundit panels are.
Oh, absolutely.
Just vapid, time-chomping wastes. Just they're meaningless.
They're cheap.
And cheap.
They're cheap.
Yep.
They're incredibly inexpensive to
like
put Jeffrey Lord,
yeah.
You know, red ants and black ants and have them fight and pretend that the red ants are exactly the same as the black ants. They're just mirror opposites and they fight. And why can't we find peaceful? Because you arranged the structure of your show for conflict.
Yeah.
And that and by doing that, you automatically make both sides equal.
Yep.
You pair them off. You make them look the same. You match them physically the same and you treat them as equals. And they're clearly not.
I have breaking news, by the way, in the world of reality television.
How breaking is it?
It's very breaking.
Okay.
And it's related to Donald Trump.
Really?
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger is quitting The Apprentice.
Oh, my God.
And he's quitting because he is blaming the low ratings on the poisonous atmosphere that Donald Trump created. His meddling on the show. Apparently, he still meddles. He is still concerned with how The Apprentice is doing.
Of course he is.
It is his meddling and presence as a producer on the series that is responsible for the ratings dive.
Man. Okay.
And the last thing is Schwarzenegger said, I will work with anyone associated with NBC and Mark Burnett again. Everyone from the celebrities to the crew to the marketing department, I give them all a straight 10 and would absolutely work with all of them again on a show that doesn't have this baggage. Which is Trump.
Yeah.
So, that happened.
This is happening in real time, people. We're doing it live, people. We're doing it live. So let's loop this back in.
Yeah.
First of all, the pundit panels also serve an important secondary purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used this analogy before with you. The conservative movement is the mob.
Mm-hmm.
And David Brooks and David Frum and those people are the mob lawyers.
Yeah, okay.
They're the ones whose job it is to rig up alibis for their horrible clients or to explain away to the jury why they're not really guilty because, you know, everybody does it. It's both sides. So, and the number of times I've had back and forths with conservatives, once you corner them, I mean, what's coming out of their mouth is Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Mark Levin and Laura Ingraham.
And Clinton Cash.
Yeah.
And,
Big splats of bullshit that has been crapped into their skulls by these horrible people. But once you back them into a corner, if they linger long enough to back them right into the corner and prove to them absolutely categorically the specific lie they're telling today is obviously not true. Sean Hannity doesn't come out of their mouth anymore. It's David Brooks.
Right, right.
David Brooks comes out of their mouth and says, well, you know, liberals are just as bad. Well, you know, both sides are equally wrong. You know, Democrats do it all the time. And that's the purpose they serve. They are the alibi. They're the fucking getaway car for these horrible, horrible people. So getting back to the speech and the reaction and the fact that it only took one day.
For
the greatest speech in presidential fucking history to be swallowed up with the madness that is the absolute baseline of the Trump presidency. And I was going to use, for an example, the fact that Jefferson Beauregard Sessions is in up to his tiny little chin with the Russians. But you know what? Arnold Schwarzenegger tweeting works just as well.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
The man-baby president is going to go, and he's going to step all over his own dick to fight with Arnold Schwarzenegger on Twitter.
Right.
So when it comes to distractions, everything's a fucking distraction for this guy because he's demented.
He can't focus on the job of being president of the United States.
And he doesn't want to.
No.
And that's why people, his subordinates, have to plot behind his back to steal the country for him, use him as a vehicle to rip the country off. And that's why everyone, you know, show of hands of everyone in the Trump administration who hasn't had secret contacts and lied about it with the Russians.
Everybody has.
Everybody has.
Clearly. Yeah.
And so that's the big news this week. And and the bigger, not bigger, but to contextualize that news, every day in Trump land, every day, it's been 40 some odd days now, right? There's blue dresses and Benghazis coming out of the sky.
Right.
Every couple of minutes, man, it's just raining down. And they rain so fast, they cover up the Katrinas and Watergates of yesterday.
Yep.
Just a constant torrent. And when I said 40 impeachable offenses in 40 days, I'm not kidding.
No, right.
And every day, the right crawls further up its ass to hide from the fact that they did this to themselves. And the only time they ever come crawling out is when the real world reaches in and pulls them out and smacks them upside the head. When somebody says, by the way, your insurance is going away.
Yep.
Your job is going away. The union that protects you, we're going to fuck them too. We're going to blow up the mountain you live on, and the slag is going to come pouring down into the river that you depend on for drinking water, because guess what you just got rid of? The EPA.
The EPA, yep.
And
yep.
That brings us to the great cell phone confiscation.
You mean Sean Spicer's cell phone confiscation. Yeah.
Captain Kui. Yeah. You know, he knew it was the mess, boys. He knew it was the, and he could have proved it, too, using geometric logic. So, yeah, he did a Kane Mutiny strip search of the entire
crew. And this
crew.
Feels like it was 7.5 weeks ago that
it
this
does.
Happened.
This was
three days
ago.
Yeah, 3 days.
This was three fucking days ago. Three or four days ago, Sean Spicer decided, I've had it with the goddamn leaks in this White House. Everybody turn your goddamn phones. We're going to go through them. And you know what leaked out like 10 minutes after he said that?
That he grabbed all the phones.
And he grabbed all the fucking phones. Dude, everybody hates you.
Yeah.
Everyone's not. You know who's really doing it? I swear to God. Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah.
That is an irresponsible speculation on our part. And we here at the Professional Left Podcast do not condone irresponsible speculation. But I'm betting you it's goddamn Kellyanne Conway who's trying to torpedo his ass.
Yep.
So that the fact that she is completely off the radar now and is clearly out of the loop, she can get crumb crawling back into Donald Trump's good graces.
Yep.
But that's... You know, that's neither here nor there. All I know is that Sean Spicer had a snipe hunt, and the fact that he had a snipe hunt was leaked immediately during the middle of the snipe hunt.
Mm-hmm.
They have no control over anything in that fucking White House at all.
Nope.
Which leads us to Hugh Hewitt.
Hugh Hewitt gaslighting America.
Yeah. You know, Hugh Hewitt is a, as I've said, is a cyborg sent from the future to destroy America.
Mm-hmm.
And people think I'm kidding. But Hugh Hewitt is a cyborg. He does not evidence human emotion in any way. He has his facial expressions are what an expression I learned a couple of months ago called the uncanny valley. The uncanny valley is that little bit of inhumanness in robots or in cyborgs that creep you out. That animatronic kind of thing that, okay, it looks nearly human, but the eyes ain't right and the mouth ain't right and the gestures are just a little bit off. And It's if you put it on a graph, it's like there's this massive drop off when you try to make robots look like people.
Yep.
And you fail just enough to creep them the fuck out. And the Lord of the Uncanny Valley is Hugh Hewitt.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this guy, this right-wing radio crackpot who lies constantly, is on Meet the Press and is an honored guest on MSNBC.
Yeah.
And is quoted and cited. And it's not just the fact that he's there. It's the fact that there's so clearly a contractual obligation on the part of every one of his colleagues
to not say, to call him, Hugh, you're so wise.
Not to pound his face into the desk and say, fuck you, you fucking liar, every time he opens his mouth.
Well, now, Rachel Maddow this week, she didn't say that.
No, she didn't.
But she did say, may I intercede?
Yes.
And she took him down. She did take him down. And everybody knew that she took him down.
Yeah.
But who had to end it with, reasonable people can disagree.
Right. Step in.
Brian Williams had to end it with, well, reasonable people can disagree. And no, Hugh Hewitt's not being reasonable.
He's lying.
He's a liar.
He's a liar. He's a professional liar. And here's the one.
And he's turd polishing for Trump. That's what he's doing. He is reinterpreting everything that Trump says to make it fit in with what was already insane,
right,
but with what conservatives, old style conservatives, will accept.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which, of course, he supports the troops. Right. You know, of course, he's a low tax, reasonable person about debt. Mm-hmm. You know, no, he isn't.
and the fact that Hugh Hewitt spent most of last year freaking out and running every direction, saying that Hillary Clinton's involvement with foreign companies,
right,
with foreign powers through the Clinton Foundation was so extraordinary and so beyond the norm and so suspicious that she probably is going to be impeached before she even gets into office.
Right.
And the fact that Donald Trump is actually up to his chin with Russians and other people.
We haven't seen his tax return.
And that's perfectly okay with you.
It's covered up.
He doesn't have a conscience. He is a cyborg sent from the future to destroy America. But really, he capped himself. I mean, he really sort of went, because really, once you figure out there's nobody guarding the vault,
yeah,
but there's no cops, that the media has just abandoned its fucking post.
All the truth that's fit to print. No, forget it. We're just going to take it all.
No,
anything Trump says. Yeah.
It's like the Omega Man. I mean, you know, it's the end of the world. Everyone's gone. Why not bust into a store and take everything?
Right.
Why not grab a Ferrari? Because there's no one guarding anything. So on Twitter, this is why we talked about Twitter doesn't count, apparently.
It doesn't count.
Doesn't count. Hugh Hewitt said, and I quote, in the middle of an exchange with Matthew Dowd. Talking about how, you know, both sides, and elevation of false scandals. Even Benghazi, says Hugh Hewitt, even Benghazi was largely ignored by the mainstream media.
He
said that. And God did not strike him dead, because God only strikes dead humans. And as I've mentioned before, Hugh is a cyborg sent from the future.
He's a cyborg sent from the future.
He's invisible to the Almighty. But, I mean, that level of absolute flabbergasting, fucking, I don't give a shit. No one's going to fire me. I have Brian Williams.
This is not
going to
cost me
pocket.
One dime. This is not going to cost me anything, right?
This will cost me nothing. And Chuck Todd, you know, Chuck, the referee Todd, will invite me on his fucking show and never mention this.
Yep.
I can go on anybody's show anywhere, anytime, and lie my ass off, and no one's going to. And that's deliberate. I've worked in lots of places. And when people like that are given completely free rein to do whatever the fuck they want, it's either blackmail or sex or nepotism.
Right.
Someone inside the organization, way up the food chain from the people you see on camera, has decided that we're going to let Hugh Hewitt do whatever the fuck he wants, and anyone who calls him on it is going to get a spanking.
Yep.
And that serves their purpose, not yours. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about this fucking country. They care about their tax cuts and their ratings. And that's what Hugh Hewitt is there to do. And many, many, many more like him. But he really stood out this week as, holy shit.
All right, we have about
10 seconds,
11 minutes left, maybe, in this podcast. And I do want to get, not because all of our listeners are intensely interested in local news.
Right.
But it is a symbol. It is very symbolic to what is going around. Excuse me. It is very symbolic related to what is going on around the country with Republican governors. We have it in spades with Governor Hedge Fund, Governor Rauner. There was news in Governor Rauner's world this week, and I want you to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm
it is the meltdown of the grand bargain of Illinois is what it is.
All right.
So, here's so start with what the grand bargain is. Yeah.
Once upon a time, Illinois had a budget. It was a very, very long time ago.
Mm-hmm. And it was 21 months ago, I believe it is now.
It was going on 2 years now.
Yeah.
And then Governor Hedge Fund was elected, and he did not want to play nice with the Democrats or compromise on anything. So he said, fuck you, you don't get a budget. And that's when things, I mean, let's be very clear. Illinois has a structural deficit and owes
just
money.
Just like lots and lots and lots of states do.
Going back 30 years through through Republican administration, Democratic administration, over and over. And most of it's based on the fact that we promised to pay teachers and other people who work for the
state. Firefighters, yeah.
In the future, in what's called their retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this time, the people who had those jobs have been paying into their retirement account, and the state was supposed to match that. And it never did. Or it matched it to, you know, to 60% of what it was supposed to, 40%. Because in the sweet by and by, everything will be great, and we'll invest it in the housing market. And, you know, that's always going to go up. And on and on and on. And they basically blew it. So now there's a big fat hole in the budget. And it's getting bigger every year. And there are things that have to happen to fix that. Mm-hmm. Some things are going to involve tax increases on people like Governor Hedge Fund, which he does not like. Some are going to happen. Some things are going to have to be cut, which I don't like. But I do recognize that once the problem gets this big, you know, Illinois doesn't have a sovereign, doesn't have a global currency. We're not the globe's reserve currency. We don't get
right, and we can't print money like every other state. We can't print money. Right.
So we're supposed to, and every year the governor's supposed to submit a balanced budget. And he's just been lying for 2 years. He submits a balanced budget with an asterisk that says, if the economy grows at like 70%,
everything's
going
to be great. Exactly what Mnuchin is doing.
Right.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
The assumption is, I'm going to build in assumptions that are ludicrous.
Right.
And then do some math, and then it's going to be great. And the Democrats are saying, that's just nonsense. There's a deficit in your budget, and you know it, and you're breaking the law, and stop it. Mm-hmm. So finally, Governor Hedge Fund said, look, I'm going to let State Senate Democrats and State Senate Republicans go into a room, and everybody's going to have to come out a little bit bloodied and figure this shit out. I'm going to step out of the process because I'm part of the problem. I realize I'm a lightning rod. So here you go.
You guys all, make a deal.
You
make,
make a deal. Come out and we'll review it and I'll sign it.
And we're not, but even in that, as far as I'm concerned, even doing that, you are rewriting the playing field.
Yes,
because
you
are essentially saying that that Senate Republicans in the state Senate of Illinois are equal, that both Republicans and Democrats are at the 50-yard line.
Right. Which
now,
is not
I
true.
Get it that the governor needs to sign the budget. And so he does have all of that weight. Plus, he has billions of dollars and owns every Republican in the state house.
Literally
owns them.
Yeah.
But for him to say, you are going to cede half the field to us from day one and negotiate with us as if you are equal partners in the state Senate is, to my mind, unconstitutional.
Yeah, but it's the deal they got.
And that's the deal they got.
And he's been really clear all along that his goal is to slash taxes for rich people and bust the unions.
Bust AFSCME, yeah.
He wants Wisconsin, Iowa, Kansas to be his model. Get rid of unions. Get rid of worker protections. Let the free market do what the free market does, which is make people like Governor Hedge Fund richer. That's all he wants.
Right.
So, and the Democrats have said, look, first of all, no. Secondly, that's our constituents, so we're not going to stab our own base in the back to make you happy. Because you're a dick and you don't give us anything and there's no room in your universe for compromise. So fuck you. We'll sit over here and ask me. The state workers are talking about taking the strike vote. So it's serious. It's gotten really serious. It's been serious for a long time, but now it's really, really serious. So that's what the plan was. And then he decided to stick himself in the middle of the negotiation.
Again, he promised not to do.
He promised to stay hands off, and now he decided to step right back in and basically say, you can compromise all you want, but unless I get 100% of what I want, fuck you, you're not getting anything.
I will not sign anything that negotiates away the things I want.
Right, at all.
Which was the whole point of the grand bargain was, I'm going to step out of the process and let you guys negotiate based on state Senate, you know, knowing what I want, but also working it out and make a budget together.
Meanwhile.
And then he said, wait, I want all these things and I won't sign anything that doesn't have them.
This is what happens when you put a Donald Trump, a CEO, an emperor in charge of a democracy.
Who has more money than God and no consequences for doing anything politically because he has bought his party in the state house. Yeah.
Here's how Rauner is smarter than Trump in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. He actually gets out among the peasants.
He does.
He lives down here. He walks around.
We've seen him in restaurants.
We've seen him in restaurants. More than once. Yep. More than once. We've seen him walking around. He is present. He comes to events. He does things. So he does the political side of just being there and shaking hands and showing up and being eye level with you really well. But
he doesn't go to his vacation home at taxpayer expense every weekend. No.
Yep.
He wears blue jeans and pretends he's a regular folk. Yeah.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
But he also has launched, I'm not sure what the real name is. I call it Yes, I Want to Be a Scab.com, which is a job site just in case the workers of Illinois go on strike. He'll be ready with a replacement worker website that'll match you, Scab American, up with a job that a hardworking person is striking to save.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can get in there and take that job away from them. And we don't know what's going to happen if the strike is settled or when the strike is settled or when they come back. But he doesn't really care. That's not his problem. That's someone else's problem.
Yeah, he's got a job site to replace striking workers from day one. Yeah. And one of the things that's really important to realize about that is that we think that this is something new. Again, you think this is something new. But
it's not.
From 2014, when Rauner was running as a first-time candidate from Winnetka, that was, you know, he was just running to face Governor Quinn.
Right.
And, you know, he wasn't an unknown, but he'd never run for office before. Right. And he said during the campaign, he spoke, and this is on YouTube, on the union, on the teachers union's YouTube page.
Uh-huh.
He addressed the Tazewell County Republican Party at their Lincoln dinner in March of 2014. And he said, quote, "I apologize, but we may have to go through a little rough times. And we have to do what Ronald Reagan did with the air traffic controllers.
Right.
We have to sort of do a do-over and shut things down for a little while. That's what we're going to do."
Right. He told them.
He told them that he was going to bust the union.
Right.
And this, you know, Reagan in 1981 fired 11,000 air traffic controllers who were on strike. And that decimated the entire labor movement.
Yeah, it did.
Across the country.
Because now the government is no longer a neutral arbitor.
Nope, they picked
now
a side.
Their own federal government is against them at every turn.
Every turn. And
changed everything.
He jumped in. Reagan jumped in between labor and management and fired the striking workers. And when you do that, you know, that was the beginning of the end for the labor movement. In private industry.
Yeah, they're still labor union, but they are a shadow of what they once were.
They're a shadow of what they were, and they are primarily public unions.
Right.
That's the last holdout, is the government unions. And now we've got a string of governors across the country who are saying, oh, no, I'm going to do – telling people I'm going to do what Reagan did to the air traffic controllers. So – there is no good faith in which Rauner is negotiating anything. And the unions know that. But they are on a high wire because there is nothing stopping Rauner in his own party from going ahead and firing everybody, every state worker. Firing every state worker and hiring scabs is the plan, apparently, because he's got the website up.
Replacing them, driving them out on strike and then replacing them while they're gone.
Right. Right. Yeah. And that might be it, too. He might be consciously this is how he busts the union, is just force them to strike, fire them all. Yeah.
But wherever you land inside the Republican Party, whether it's a state level, local level, I will give a wide berth to very local Republicans who occupy elected offices that are you know, in charge of paving my street.
I was going to say, people who are actually accountable for a job to a local constituency that notices, because it's a very concrete thing. Like, I know if my sidewalk's fixed or not.
Exactly.
I know if the street light down at the corner is working or not. Those kind of jobs, the accountability is so immediate. You're going to call your ward leader and say, there's
alderman,
a pothole,
alderman.
I mean, whatever it is in your area.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to call them and say, the street light's out. And it's going to get fixed by this afternoon because somebody's going to call the right person and get it done. That is different from any higher level.
Right.
The other thing, though, Driftless, and then we have to end. It just depresses me that because of Rauner, because he's a multimillionaire, because he's donated $50 million to his own reelection campaign.
Yes. And he's donated, I don't know how many tens of millions to the Republican Party.
To each of the Republican candidates for state Senate and state
big
House.
Checks.
Yeah.
Big checks
yep.
to everybody.
Checks.
Big checks
yep.
to all. Everyone with R after the name gets a big check.
Big check. And that's how.
From one guy.
Senate. From one guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is the problem. This is the Davos world that we live in, where the head of the office for Merrill Lynch in Moscow is Carter Page.
Yeah, I didn't know that until my wife
told me. Yeah, until today. Yeah. I mean, I just figured it's like, you mean
what?
Fox News never mentions that Merrill Lynch has a Moscow office and that Carter Page was in charge of it for a number of years. And here we have Governor Rauner, you know, throwing huge amounts of money into the political process.
Uh-huh.
And so who is going to run against him on the Democratic side? It's either going to be a Kennedy or a Pritzker.
Right.
Because you have to have now it is the entry point for politics. You know, you can't run a Senate campaign unless you have $1 million to start with.
Right. You've got to have 30 million. And,
yeah.
and that's just
yeah.
that's the opening bid.
Yep. And we have opening bids. That's my problem is we have opening bids for candidates for office.
And I love this run for anything, run for everything, be part of I support that entirely.
Yep.
But let's be realistic.
Mm-hmm. If we don't get the money out of politics, if we don't start working toward, and that's going to have to happen outside of the Democratic Party, outside of the Republican Party, outside of the Senate and House, that's going to have to start, that has got to be completely grassroots and happen behind their backs with no contribution from any of them. They will not help. I don't even believe in Bernie Sanders helping with that. I just don't.
Well, let me tell you the one thing that joins, I believe, Rauner's rich donors, the ones who like the fact, it's sort of his neighbors.
Yeah, yeah.
Up in the far
up in Winnetka,
suburbs Chicago, where all the rich people live.
Mm-hmm.
And the coal miners and Rust Belt folks who believe in Donald Trump. You know what joins them together? When experience, when reality drags them out of their respective bubbles and smacks them upside the head. The folks who discovered after they voted for Donald Trump that he was going to take away their black lung coverage in coal country wanted to know what the fuck just happened. Well, I'm sorry, what? No, I voted against Obamacare, not the Affordable Care Act. And they're like, no, dude, you didn't read the fine print, except it wasn't really fine print. It was like 72-point railroad font. You chose not to read it because all you ever do in your double wide is watch Fox and listen to Rush. And they never bother to mention the fact that you're voting to cut your own throat. They just wanted to let you know liberals hate Donald Trump and he loves America. So once reality sneaks into their little dingy world and wallops them around a little bit, they're like, what the hell? What? Now, travel with me now to the rich suburbs of Chicago, where lots of people love Bruce Rauner, loved their rich friend. Until they found out that his program was canceling the autism program that their kid was in. And they wanted to know what, I'm sorry, what? What? He said, no, when I talked about shutting things down, you were aware that those programs that help your children are part of the government, right?
Right, right.
What?
No.
Not my kid, not my suburb, not my need, not my healthcare issue. Yeah, yours too. And that's when a whole bunch of people started joining hands and uniting and saying, wait just a minute. You know, this whole idea of shutting down the autism program on World Autism Day was a brilliant stroke of absolute political malfeasance.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that woke them up was the fact that there are actual programs funded by the actual government that help them specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not just those poor people over there. It's my son, my daughter, my six-year-old, my four-year-old, who the governor just screwed for purely ideological reasons.
Well, but that is watching whiteness work.
Yep.
You know, whiteness doesn't take anything from the government. How many people do you know? How many conservatives say, I did this all myself?
All of them. You know? All of them. They're yeah. all fucking John Wayne. They're all right, Red right. River. They're all did it all by themselves. They settled the West by themselves. And there's nothing out there but them and their cattle.
And that's why I always recommend, you know, one of the things you can recommend to your conservative neighbors and friends is working out how they're going to pay for their nursing home care should they live so long and need help. Who's going to pay for it? And how much is it going to cost for you to be in assisted living? How much is it going to cost for you to be in a nursing home? And who's going to change your diaper if you are incapacitated?
Mm-hmm.
Because there aren't going to be, in Trump's America, there aren't any brown women to do that.
Nope. They're all gone. Sorry.
So,
all left.
You know, that's just tough shit.
Right.
And, oh, no, I just love Manuela. You know, she's the best. And
yeah.
no one's going to take her away from me.
Yeah, they
oh,
are.
Yeah?
Yeah, they are.
She's uh-huh. going to drop her kid off at school before she comes to change your diapers because she's your day person. And ICE is going to pick her up. Yeah. We're finding that out.
Sorry, dude.
And this is an exercise for them to say, well, you know, how are you going to do this? Are your kids going to pay $60,000 a year for you to be in a nice place?
Right.
It is Medicaid that pays for that.
That's right.
And that budget is going away. Mm-hmm. It's hidden, but it's hidden. We don't ever ask grandma who's in a nursing home.
No.
You know, we don't call her a moocher, right?
No.
But we also don't discuss a society where we take care of the elderly and we take care of children who don't have lunch money. We don't talk about that because that's talking about it as a society means we're all responsible. And that's not what conservatism is. We all pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, right?
Mm-hmm.
Independence. You're, like you say, John Wayne. So when we did, there's so many things we didn't get into in our podcast this week.
I know.
And I'm sorry, but we love you. And
that's why we're going to have a podcast next week, Blue Gal.
Hey, we're going to have a podcast next week, and we're going to keep on podcasting. And, you know, I do want to say, Dirk West said to me earlier this week, you know, how did we get chosen to somehow minister to other people? This is crazy. I'm feeling
I feel like shit.
Absolutely devastated by this whole thing.
Yeah.
And at the end, I'm in no way qualified to make other people feel better at this moment. And that's why I say to all of you, you guys, we need you right back. We need
right.
you as much as you need us. This is a family partnership here. This is not us preaching to you. We love you. We need you right back. And we so appreciate your listenership and your support of our podcast work. Thank you.
Hey, you know, I failed before to read to you from the Diary of Ayn Rand.
That is an annual tradition. Youngest child has had quite a week.
She has.
She turned 13 on Sunday.
Yep.
And that is the tradition. It is absolutely the longest day of the year for me. It's longer than Christmas because she makes such a huge deal out of her birthday every year. That's just months of planning and cake and oh my gosh.
Reminders on every flat surface.
Reminders on every flat surface in the house. My birthday is on Sunday. And, you know, I'm very tired at the end of that day. And that's when Driftglass several years ago said to me, oh, and my ex-husband comes into town, too, because it's her birthday. And she insists that dad come to town on her birthday, even if it's in the middle of the week. No, it's my birthday. You have to come on the day. You have to take me out to dinner on the day. So there's just this thing with her. So it's exhausting. And several years ago, you. I know it's in our podcast, probably from 2010 or 2011, where I'm lying down and you say, I want to read you from the journals, the unpublished journals of Ayn Rand. I'm like, no, you're not going to do that. And you did. But
yes. And the other big thing.
Yeah.
In her week.
Oh, and the other big thing in her week is there was a school-wide speech competition giving a speech that you write yourself. She did it completely independently.
She did.
She let me hear it, and I gave her one piece of advice about like a preposition or something. And she
Open with a joke.
No, she stomped upstairs and like, now I have to change the whole thing because this preposition is wrong. Okay, I'm not going to say anything else. But she gave a speech, and there were four finalists, and she won.
She did.
School-wide won the prize for best speech of the year of her entire school.
Best pundit.
Pundit. Right. Well, and the thing is, it was about who is your hero. That was the topic of for all of them. And I guess we should be insulted because everyone else had someone in their family and she did not choose anyone in her family as her hero. But she did choose an actress who got arrested protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Yeah. Which is, you know, that's this is the child who does not like political conversation. Wishes we could talk about other things because we are or social or media or whatever. There's a lot of this is the water in which we swim.
Yeah.
Well, but and it was a great speech. She did very well.
It was a great speech about how this actress had raised awareness, had been completely committed to what she believed in and was willing to be arrested for it, even though she was a star, you know. She was willing to go to jail to protect people that were less fortunate and victimized, and she was fighting for the right thing. And and what was so funny about it is Middle Child is our artist.
Yes.
And Junior Dude is our political guy. He wants to talk about Donald Trump every 5 seconds, just whatever. He's always wanting to talk about polls, and that's just his obsessive. You think we're obsessed with politics?
Yeah.
Junior Dude is to an nth degree obsessed with these things.
And global politics as well.
Yeah, and global politics as well, sure. Yeah. Youngest Child has always been my sporty spice. You know, she's real into wearing the right kind of sneaker, wearing sweatpants, doing volleyball.
And she's a math whiz.
She's got a lot of intelligence. I'm not saying she's not a brilliant child. She is.
But
she's on the go. She's active. She's really interested in sports. And I never really thought of her as being Apple Meet Tree. She's sort of my one-off kid in terms of I encourage all my children to be independent and to be themselves and have their own interests. But she always seemed like she didn't adopt the interests of me or the family. She went off on her own. And here she was doing this speech that was a passionate defense of a person who made a political stand. And I thought, okay, that apple tree has wider branches than I thought it did.
Yeah.
And there's that apple that fell from that tree. It's right there. So very proud of her. I mean, I would be anyway, but this was touching and brought home to me that, she's mine. Yeah, we got that. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And I wouldn't have brought it up, but one of my readers, Neo Tuxedo, has looped back to me stuff that I've written already. This was a David Brooks column that I'm not going to bore you with, but it's at my website and it's, you know, it's pretty good. I'm just going to say, it's pretty good. If there were a prize for David Brooks,
a
prize for David Brooks stuff, I'd probably come in at least second.
Second or third,
Or third. but he looped back to something that he's said before and I've said before, and he's said it on his blog before or Facebook before. This really does accurately sum up the horror that Republicans like David Brooks are having at this thing they see in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually is from John Galt's speech from Atlas Shrugged, but it's very short and it's really on point. So I'd like to indulge just for a moment.
Okay.
And he substitutes only the word John Galt for Donald Trump. That's all. Everything else is the same. But this is exactly what we talk about every week, and this is exactly the critique we have made of our media and our politics for years now. It starts like this. You have destroyed all that which you held to be evil and achieved all that which you held to be good. Why, then, do you shrink in horror from the sight of the world around you? That world is not the product of your sins. It's the product and the image of your virtues. It is your moral ideal brought to reality in its full and final perfection. You fought for it, you've dreamed of it, and you've wished it, and Donald Trump is the man who granted you your wish.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. David Brooks, Donald Trump isn't the repudiation of conservatism, which he wrote today. He's the apotheosis of conservatism.
Absolutely.
He's the final end product of the political and ideological system that so many of you have been working on for 30 fucking years.
Mm-hmm.
And that so many of us have been warning you for at least that long that this is what it's going to fucking come to.
Yep.
And now it's here. So yep. What are you going to do about it? I know what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to keep podcasting in the middle of my cornfield with my beautiful wife and writing on my blog and, like so many other liberals, being completely ignored by the media. But I don't
care. And marching and calling our congressmen.
Exactly.
And voting and encouraging others to vote and helping registration and knitting shawls for cancer patients and
pushing
making,
and pushing and pushing.
Yeah. Doing whatever it takes to make the world a better place as you are called to do it and finding that.
Exactly.
And making art and doing all of that. So, yes, that is who we are. And that is who you are. And we got to end it.
Because we are the liberal media.
Yeah. And so are you.
Yeah. And each week
we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Herbert. Herbert is one of those rare cats who actually likes water.
Jesus.
He's sitting in a bathroom sink in this picture, clearly related in lineage to our black cats, Barack Hussein, the Kenyan usurper, and our Olive. You know, they all have this look that's just, you know, I'm in the sink now. And you'll need to go and visit Herbert at our website and Facebook page. He's fantastic, and we love Herbert. Send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. And don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local, and we also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. They have changed the way they pay people that have Amazon links at their website now.
Yeah.
It's going to cut into our income probably quite a bit from Amazon. They're not doing it by the number of items sold anymore. They're doing it by type of item. So if you buy a book from Amazon using our link, it's, I think, 4% of the book price will come to us every time. It used to be that if we sold 150 books from our website, it would bump up and bump up and we'd get 6 and 8%. I don't know if we ever made it to 8%, but we certainly made it to 7% a time or two. Mm-hmm. Now it's a flat rate based on what type of item you buy. Furniture is pretty high. Luxury beauty, folks. If you're a luxury beauty purchaser, whatever that means, mm-hmm. I guess that means like department store cosmetics. I don't buy that sort of thing, but if you ever buy that as a gift for someone else, that gets us 10%. Now, I'm not gonna do ads for luxury beauty on our show, but just tossing that out there. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter, and thank you for doing that. It just warms my heart when I see that happening. I know not everyone can do it because you're on the down low at work or whatever, but hey, if you can and you do it, we just are so grateful to you for doing that. So, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the internet kitties say they love the smell of burning bridges in the morning. It smells like the resistance.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2017, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.